Hey, it's Canzano. I appreciate you listening to the podcast. Make sure you subscribe and give us some feedback. Also, the Bald-Faced Truth podcast, it's brought to you by Shoe Mill, my favorite shoe store with locations in Portland and Salem and online at shoemill.com. Shoe Mill, where we put the world at your feet.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to the Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth. BFFT. Live from the home studios presented by High Caliber Millwrights, here's John Canzano with the bald-faced truth.
All right, I have a teenager in my household. That's my excuse, but I was on TikTok not too long ago, losing time, kind of scrolling through a lot of ridiculous videos and sports highlights, and I found a guy that just made me stop cold. Todd Medina, the fight coach, had created an account where he was just giving kind of pointers to civilians what to do if you get in a fight. And given that, you know, I've covered boxing as a sports writer for years, and I've watched boxing, but I've never actually talked with somebody like Todd Medina. I did kind of grapple around once with Royce Gracie, Brazilian jiu-jitsu master, Jedi Knight, phenomenal UFC fighter. And I did some research on Todd Medina. This is a guy who's got a great story. And so I'm dragging him on this radio show, if for nothing else, just to learn a little bit about him. And maybe he will impart some of his wisdom on you. If you ever get in a fist fight or a self-defense situation, maybe you will call upon this interview with Todd Medina, the fight coach. 13-time champion, MMA UFC fighter, now coaching, joining us now. How are you, Todd Medina? Where are you today?
John, you're the best. I'm in Orange County, California.
Love it.
Thank you for having me on the show.
Oh, I have so many questions I want to ask you, but let's just first start with your story. How did you get started? How do you end up in a combat situation as a fighter yourself as a young person?
Well, I was moved around a whole lot when I was a younger kid. So just not looking for it, but just fights just being there. It was a real weird situation. But like, if it wasn't for the UFC or combat sports fighting, like, I don't know what the heck I would have done, but that's how it started the whole thing for me.
And you get into that. Did it give you some structure? Did you finally find, like, I hear fighters say all the time, like, I found my people. Like, when you got into it, did you look around and go, okay, I'm comfortable. This is for me.
John, 100%. Like, I was given the first UFC, a VHS tape. That's how long ago that was. And so I had that. And then exactly that. Like, I just click with these people. Like, right now I've got a world champ, Chris Algieri, with me training, a boxer. And just the conversations we have, and we just click. It works really well. Like, it's just, those are my people. It's, yeah, just that you hit that right on the head.
When you get into the ring or the octagon, and the adrenaline rush must be amazing. What is that like?
When I fought UFC 5, like, I seriously thought I was going to have a heart attack before I walked in there. the energy was so crazy for, like, a no-rules fight, which there was nothing you could train, or we didn't know about it even then, just walking out. I was like, oh, goodness. Yeah, that energy is, like, nothing that you could feel. It's been, not that it's not, like, very extreme right now at the UFC, but just when there's no rules, the atmosphere is just, like, something. It's crazy. It's a next level. It's next level.
How do you know as a fighter when it's time for you to hang it up? Like, you know, is it an age thing, or are you in there and you're not able to do what you used to do? Or when did you know, like, okay, I need to kind of migrate into coaching or find that?
You know, John, that's weird, because when Chuck and Tito fought, what, like a year ago, year and a half ago,
yep.
Chuck got a bunch of flack for that. And like, he would still fight. I know he would still fight if the opportunity was there. So it's maybe by injury, because, yeah. Like, I fought my first pro boxing match like a year and a half ago, and I could get in there today and still go. Maybe not with the younger guys, but like I train with these guys every day. I have 20-year-olds, 25-year-olds, 30-year-olds, and it's like never stop. So it has to be something, I think, physical that definitely, like, stops you or slows you down. Because, like, I'm a rarity. Like, maybe Hoy still trains. I don't know if he would still fight. But I would go in the UFC next week, like get an opportunity. So it would have, for me, it would have to be an injury thing. Because I still feel like I'm 20 years old.
Yeah.
And people are like, how do you do that? Just because I just keep training every day. It's strange to some people, but it's super normal to me. I don't understand it.
We're talking to Todd Medina, known as the Fight Coach. His nickname as a fighter, El Tiburon, means the shark. How'd you get the nickname?
That was given to me way back in the day when I very first started. How that came to be, I don't know. Just one of my best friends, one of my coaches at the time, gave it to me, and it just kind of stuck. So I was like, okay. He found it in a movie or something, but it just stayed. It was crazy.
I had a chance years ago because Hoist Gracie, who, you know, a lot of people in the industry, they look at the Gracie family. I know you're very familiar with them. They see them as, like, you know, they're the gurus, right? And I went because the FBI had agents training with Hoist to learn how to do hand-to-hand combat and disarm people if you're in a closed situation. You have done that as well with the LAPD, the Long Beach Police Department, the United States Army, the United States Marines. What is that like to get in that situation and you know, be working with men and women who are on the front lines, so to speak?
Like, it's a whole different appreciation for me. Like, I'm so grateful for that opportunity when I get to do that, law enforcement and military. Like, I really click with the law enforcement that are, like, down in it, like maybe the SWAT guys are doing the gang units. Like, I really click with those guys and the Marines because they really put it on the line for us. So, like some of the stuff I'll show and it's kind of watered down a little bit. I don't mean that in a negative way, not at all. Just because a lot of the stuff you put on, sometimes you can really, you know, injure somebody. So, but those guys, we can, like, really turn it on, the law enforcement and the military. And we just, that's another thing. We click. Those are my people. So it's just a lot of fun with them. And then they come back and tell me stories like, oh, I did this and this, or this guy tried this, and, you know, I reversed it and did that thing we did in class last week. I'm like, perfect. Perfect. So, like, that's one thing I'm really grateful is through this whole journey, this whole opportunity of getting to be able to train with those guys.
I love
it as much as I do.
I love what you're doing on TikTok because I think a lot of people scrolling through there, and of course there's a lot of nonsense on there, and I always feel guilty at the end of the hour or so that I've lost, and I go, what am I doing? But I stumbled upon your profile there, and you are just giving pointers, like, to civilians. Okay, here's a little fight pointer. Can you give us a couple of pointers? Because I think people out there would be fascinated to learn a little bit from a guy who has, you know, 7 MMA world titles, 6 grappling world titles, 13 world championships. You're in the Martial Arts Hall of Fame. From Todd Medina to our listeners, can you give us a couple of things that we can all take with us?
One, and this may not be the typical answer coming from me, but is don't be there. Like, if you're in a situation where you think it might, or you're in a place where it might turn into a situation, don't go. If somebody's going to score off with you, think, just don't be there. Be the first one to leave. And yep. I've done this where I know I could have put hands on this person and hurt them badly. They're calling me this name and that name. I've even had people spit on me, and I still turn to walk away from that. So that's my number one thing. And like, I preached it, too. I mean, I've done it, and I preach it. But it's just don't be there. That's right. My main thing. But if it goes down to it, like, be confident. Even if you don't know 100%, everybody's seen enough UFCs by now. I kind of got an idea what's going on. But if you don't have to cross a line, but if you come up confident, the majority of the time, you're not going to get pushed on. You're not going to get picked on. But if somebody's, like, getting chesty with you and wanting to push on you, and you're already back and whimpering and that kind of thing, they're for sure a bully's going to continue to keep going at you. So just stick up for yourself.
I love that.
Just stick up for yourself.
If it comes to fisticuffs, body positioning, one of the videos I saw, you talked about not giving the assailant a target. Like, when your opponent in the ring, you know, and what do you mean by that? Because most people who haven't fought, if they're squaring up, they're going to give a very large target to their opponent.
Yeah, you're spot on. Putting this over to basketball. Like, in basketball, if you never stop moving, dribbling the ball, passing, it's very tiring, but the majority, like, you probably won't lose that game, okay? Now, it's no different than street fight, for example. Say, if you don't even want to be there, but, like, as much as it is, Floyd Mayweather is the best defensive fighter on the planet, okay? It's very difficult to punch him, Okay. So same thing. Like if you're in a street fight, if you just don't move, say you're pretend you're playing basketball, just keep your feet moving side to side, side to side. Don't let that person get close to you. You're good to go. I'll get so frustrated and tired to deal with it. I'm just going to leave.
When you talk, and again on Instagram as well as TikTok, if you're not a TikTok person, Todd Medina MMA on Instagram. Your latest Instagram post talked about controlling a fight versus dictating a fight. What do you mean?
Okay, so dictating a fight. Here's one thing that I tell parents: a wrestler will never get bullied ever. So if a lot of parents hit me up like, "Hey, where do I put my child? Karate, kung fu, jiu-jitsu, whatever." Like my main thing is like find a coach you like, no matter what art it is, and go that. But wrestling will dictate a fight. So say for example, John, you're beating me up and you're punching me and kicking me, and I'm like, "Oh goodness, I can't. I don't have the hands you do, but I can wrestle a little bit. I'm going to take you down and just kind of put you on lockdown so you're not punching me in the face anymore." So a wrestler will always dictate where the fight's going to go, whether it's going to be on the feet or on the ground. Now, who controls a fight, that is the person in the center of the ring or the octagon. So if I'm in the center of the ring, the person that I'm fighting has to stay on the outside of the skirt and do all the walking. For every two steps of mine, they have to do at least 4 to 6.
That's
so
interesting.
That's going to control it. So, and I don't waste near as much energy. I just got to walk you down a little bit, cut a corner off, and then when I want to attack, as you're circling, I just cut the corner off and put you in the up to the fence or in the rope and just put the boots to you. So that's the difference between dictating. A wrestler will always do that, and who controls the fight, the person in the center of the ring or the cage.
Todd Medina with us, the fight coach. You can find him on social media. You can also find him at toddmedina.com. You have obviously been a champion fighter. Now you're coaching. Do you get the same adrenaline rush when one of your guys is fighting or one of the women that you're coaching is fighting?
John, you're so good. Yeah, it's way worse for me when one of my athletes is fighting. I can't control it. We've done the whole camp, and I know he's on paper should win this fight, and in my head I know he should win this fight, but that's just the worst. My nerves are much worse when one of my fighters are going in than when myself. Like, I'm calm as, you know, anything when I'm going in, but when they go, that's really difficult on me. And I'm super tired after. It just smokes me.
I love that you've made a career out of this. Like, you found the thing that you love. You found the thing that speaks to you, and you made a career out of it. And I do tell parents out there, there are a lot of parents out there that are looking for, okay, I want to put my kid into something that builds some self-esteem, and maybe they learn some self-defense. And you hit on something. Like, you know, you can go jiu-jitsu. You can go judo. You can go karate. You can go MMA. You can go wrestling. Where would you put your kid as a starting point, and how young?
Wrestling, you can start them young. That's a double-edged sword. Depending on the area, because a lot of places I found out through TikTok, talking to these parents, that they don't have jiu-jitsu, or some just have karate, and I don't mean that disrespectful. So you're kind of stuck with what you have. But I would, if I could, I'd put my son in wrestling first. But any art like karate, kung fu, because they teach the discipline that kids need these days. But first and foremost, find a coach that you click with. It may not be the art or the sport that you necessarily want. Maybe you want to do jiu-jitsu, but you found a boxing coach that you and your family really click with. And please just stick with that coach, because through that coach, he's going to know other coaches like jiu-jitsu or wrestling, and he can refer you. But if you find that coach you click with, like, it's going to be better for your child, yourself, your whole family. It's just going to be a big conducive unit. So that's my main thing is, but in and of itself, if you can find wrestling, stick with wrestling, because it helps you later in life, because it makes you mentally so strong, that sport, like nothing ever. So it helps you in business and in family. As you get older, wrestling will definitely help.
Alabama Adriana, who is the producer of the show, was getting on public transportation in downtown Portland. And Adriana, I'll let you tell the story, because I don't want to tell it for you, but take Todd Medina through what happened to you as you were getting on to the MAX train.
Basically, I was just sitting there or standing there waiting to get on, and it came to a stop. The doors opened, and a guy got out of the car and just kind of hit me on the side of my head. I wasn't ready for it. I wasn't thinking that was going to happen. And then, yeah.
All right. So, Todd, you're training Adriana. Let's start with approach. Like, how much is awareness of where you are and what's around you? And Adriana, did you have your headset on? Did you have your earphones on?
Yeah, I did.
Had her earphones on. She's minding her business, getting on the train. Guy punches her in the side of the head. Todd, coach her.
Adriana, I'm going to back up a second or two. John, you, those are awesome questions to ask. How old are you and what's your size?
I am 25. I'm about 5'9", pretty medium build, athletic build.
She's an athlete.
What were you looking? What were you doing at the time when he hit you in the head?
I was actually looking at him because he was standing at the doors when the train came to a stop, and he was like obviously ready to step off of the train, but I didn't know that he was in an agitated state.
Understood. Unfortunately, the times we live in, specifically right now, you have to do more giving than taking kind of thing. So when I would have saw that, and that's not typical, like a guy should for sure get out of your way, even if he's stepping through or say, excuse me, or anything of that nature. But you should have, and I'm not disagreeing with what anything you're saying, I would have just stepped to the side and let him walk down. Maybe he was obviously having a bad day or whatever, and thought you should have moved. You know, but
he punched. Yeah, he punched her right in the head. Yep.
Yeah. So unfortunately, you always, like 100% of the time, 24/7, have to pay attention who's around you, the everything, like where this person's standing, who were they looking, what do you have on, where's your purse? There's a lot going on that, again, unfortunately, you specifically as a female need to know this, and it's a cruddy way to live, but it's just the fact of the matter. So you unfortunately should have moved before that even started, and I know what he did was 100% wrong.
Right.
And, you know, as a man, I apologize for what happened to you, but yeah, you just unfortunately just have to be the bigger person and always get out of the way or whatever, because that's by chance that's what's going to happen to you, is you got hit, and I apologize for that.
You know, Todd, it's really interesting. You know, you talk about first punches. A lot of times these altercations, it is one punch. What's your stance on the person who throws the first punch?
Again, unfortunately, because the time we're in right now, like normally, I think, I'm not exactly sure your age, John, but you have a lot of wisdom, so maybe we're close in age, but before somebody
I'm in my 40s. I'm in my 40s, yeah.
Okay, so yeah.
I've been punched a few times.
You know, yeah, if you were punched when you were a kid or younger, you could punch back, and it was like kind of no big deal because they punched me first. But that doesn't, maybe if they punch you and they continue to try to jump on you, then you can, you know, do what you want to do. But say, for example, somebody comes up and just punches you once and then backs away, then, like, you're not in fear anymore because they backed up. And if you beat them up, just have the laws and the rules and cell phones and everything, you're the one that's going to get in trouble, as, you know, bad as that is to say. So sometimes you just got, like I said earlier, I've had people spit on me, and that's one of the easiest way to catch, like, HIV, like a lot of things. If you spit in my mouth or in my eyes or something gets in, then I can catch a lot of bad things. And you would have thought I could just put the beat down to you, but I just walked away. So you just, like, same thing with the, you just have to be the bigger person and walk away.
All right, but Todd, you know. Todd Medina, the fight coach, is with us. Go to toddmedina.com if you want to see what he does, or if you have more questions for him, and you can follow him, of course, on all the socials. All right, before I cut you loose, all right, let's go back. What happens to Todd Medina if he doesn't find UFC, wrestling, MMA, you know, you're a kid. If you don't find it, do you ever think about how different your life would be?
Yeah. This is kind of a funny story. I was like a bodybuilder, weightlifter, so I probably still would have done that. But I would have been a panty designer for Victoria's Secret. That's 100%. I love Victoria's Secret. When I go there with my chick, I'm like, home to me. So that's probably what I would be doing, is working for Victoria's Secret. Panties and bras, that's my gig.
All right. Todd Medina, designer, fight coach, fighter. I appreciate you, man. I appreciate what you do. Thank you.
You're awesome, John. Thank you very much for having me. I appreciate the opportunity.
Okay, there's Todd Medina. There's the twist at the end, Judah. See, that's why you have to stay through the interviews.
Yeah, it's exactly right. I did not see that coming. Good on Todd.
I thought he was going to say he would have been an architect. I thought he was going to say I might have gone into law enforcement. I thought he was going to say, and you know what? I think if you really just want a taste of what he really does, go to his Instagram. I think it's the best place to start. It's Todd Medina MMA on Instagram. And he literally just gives, like, hey, here's 60 seconds on how to do self-defense if your attacker is, like, 350 pounds. Like, you know, it's like, and he's not a giant person. Or here's three tips if you're ever grappling. Or, by the way, if you're in a brawl, here's how to keep somebody away from you. And he sort of talks about that movement. or here's what you do if you get punched in the stomach. And here's a guy who's working with law enforcement, working with the Army, he's working with the Marines. And I think what he was really trying to say to Adriana was, you got to be aware. And I loved his first comment about, hey, if the first thing is if you can avoid the fight, right? So really, it comes back to that first comment on Adriana's case. Like, it's not a reasonable thing and not a normal thing to turn to a 25-year-old woman who is just trying to go to work and say, hey, you need to be on high alert when you get on public transportation. But if somebody had said that to Alabama Adriana the morning that she was getting on the MAX train, maybe the guy takes a swing at her. Maybe he still punches her. But there might have been a chance there that she would have seen it coming or expected it. And I guarantee you, Adriana, from now on, when you get on the MAX, you're always going to be expecting something like that to happen. And it's really unfortunate. That's the part of it that makes me mad. And I know that that's how you feel. And I know this because I got cold cocked one time in the restroom of a bar in college. I had walked into the bathroom. I was using the urinal. You're not expected to get punched. I turned and some guy punched me. And to this day, when I go to use a urinal at a restaurant or a movie theater or anywhere, I'm looking around going, all right, who's going to fight me in here? Because it just stays with you. Am I right, Adriana?
Yeah, I guess.
I'm not saying it was your fault. I want to make that clear.
No, I know.
You know, I just don't want to, I don't want somebody out there to get, I feel that way with my kids. I'm always expecting the worst. Maybe that's no way to live. Is it bad that I think that way?
I think it's good to have your head on a swivel.
All right. Enough of this. Todd Medina, the fight coach and underwear designer. All right, leave it here. You got the bald-faced truth coming up. We're going to talk to Demir Collins, who is committed to Oregon State. Portland area kid. He's a great story, sensational athlete. He'll be joining us coming up. Leave it right here. Coming up, we have a guest I've been trying to get on the show for a while, Demir Collins, who has committed to Oregon State. If you're an Oregon State fan, he's a four-star running back that is committed to the Beavers. He will join us coming up at 1:30 to talk about that, so we'll be with him momentarily. We do a big splash every day on the show. I'd be remiss if I didn't do it today. It's a little out of order, but I'd like to do it. Judah, can we do the big splash?
This is the one thing you absolutely need to know today.
Look at it. Where? Down there. But
the big splash.
Well, veteran defensive end and Super Bowl champion Michael Bennett has retired, or at least he says he's retired. The veteran defensive end is a three-time Pro Bowler. He's got 69 and a half career sacks. He's won a Super Bowl ring during his career, and he's retiring after 11 NFL seasons. I wish him the best. I think a lot of people do. But I'm also kind of looking at the NFL season, and I'm doing a little bit of thinking about this. I do think we're going to see a rash of players who do announce their retirements for a variety of reasons. I think we saw yesterday, what was it? Antonio Brown, who, by the way, recently settled his grievance with the Patriots over what he felt he was owed. He's going to get $5 million from the Patriots. And he'll now get full NFL pension as well because he's retired. And by the way, nobody wants to sign him. So yeah, you can say he's retired. And the key for Bennett and the key for Antonio Brown is whether they actually file the paperwork for retirement with the NFL and the Players Association. Because if they don't fire the paperwork, they can magically unretire for the 2021 season if it's played and there's a vaccine. So keep an eye on that. Michael Bennett says he's hanging it up. Also, Antonio Brown hanging it up. I think we're going to see a rash of athletes do this more as a pension move, and then they can always unretire than anything else. Keep an eye on that. Coming up, we're going to talk to Demir Collins, Oregon State's four-star commit at the running back position. Local kid, great story. He's been doing workouts. I know this because I've been in touch with him. I want to know how workouts are going. I want to know what he thinks about a high school season that he may not get to finish because of his senior year in high school. I want to know what else he's got on the horizon. So Demir Collins will be joining us coming up. So tell your college football fans or local high school fans, and especially Oregon State fans, to get to this radio show.
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald Face.
Hey, sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald Face Truth Radio Show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald Face Truth Radio Show. Thanks for listening.